What are your veterans dying of, and where are they?
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really like what you're doing. You know, we had a little pre-interview before the show, and it's a different concept. We know veterans are killing themselves. We know that. We see the 22 a day. We see the 22 push-ups a day. We see this, we see that. We don't know about the underlying factors. What are other ways veterans are dying? Maybe by their own hand or by other means. So today, first, let's find out what is going on with you, and how are you doing today?
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Jason, for having me on the show today. My name is Cherie Pham. I am the Vice President of Programs and Initiatives with America's Warrior Partnership. We are a national nonprofit that empowers communities to empower veterans. We do that by helping the communities build partnerships and collaboratives so that we can support the veterans in our community and improve their quality of life. It is from this that a question came up about 3 years ago when we were looking at our veteran communities, and we were wondering what the difference between a veteran who took their life in Orange County, California might be different from Buffalo, New York, might be different from Mobile, Alabama. And were there anything granular in the community that we could glean from and we could learn from that we could then start to help the communities to be able to get upstream around veterans taking their lives by suicide, overdose, and other premature non-natural causes?
You bring up a lot of good points in there that I never thought about until we had this little pre-interview and this little conversation right now. Is suicide is so obvious. You know it's happening, weapons, overdoses, et cetera, that are really, really blatant. But you don't know about the underlying factors that may be involved. Some of it was like, you know, talking about suicide by cop. You know, you have drowning, you have alcohol, drugs, and everything else that may be underlying factors that the veteran is using to destroy their bodies to get to escape. They're losing their light. And you're taking a different approach of you're partnering with other organizations. You're expanding it out, but you're keeping it focused. You're building, you need partnerships. Not all these organizations can do this stuff on their own. So the big thing is you need data. We know this is happening out there. And I think one of the big things you guys need right now is a big data stream. How is that going for you? And what kind of resources do you need from us as your audience and as people who support the effort?
Yeah, I think there's awareness around the data I'd like to share with you. For example, when a person dies, the coroner medical examiner office writes down what their cause of death was. They send that up to what we know as vital statistics. Vital statistics then sends that over to the CDC that looks at all the causes of death and what are happening in the communities around our public health of our citizens, right? What they don't do is they don't verify who in fact was a former service member. That is not necessarily standardized across all the states or even standardized across the county coroner medical examiner's office. So what you're finding is that we don't actually know of those deaths, who are former service members and who are not. So what Operation Deep Dive allowed us to do is to obtain state data from Vital Statistics, 2014 to 2018. We then are partnered with the Department of Defense, who says, these are the former service members. We are verifying that these persons served in the military. And here is their service record. So not only are we able to see who died by suicide, overdose, accidental gunshot, or death by law enforcement, we're also able to see cardiovascular disease deaths and melatonin and cancers. You know, we're able to see the causes of premature death that are surrounding our veteran population. Then from the service history, we're able to level that on top to see different things like, did character of discharge affect their life and it'd be taken prematurely. Were they subject to burn pits? Were they, you know, around different, we're able to start to create that narrative of this person's history. And then also start to look at from the time of death, back it up to see as closely as we can what the last 6 to 12 months of their life was by using geospatial analysis as well. So what that's going to do for us is that's going to tell us, you know, in the communities, in the states, it's going to arm us with what are your veterans dying of and where are they? And what that does is that helps the community to know exactly who they need to target, who did they need to proactively go out and engage with, whether you're a service provider, whether you're law enforcement and you're pulling over a veteran for a speed charge. It's an awareness of seeing, you know, what do I need to do to kind of intervene here if I see certain signs? So it's a way to take it out of the mental health community, which has been the largest shoulder when we talk about suicide and overdose, and actually broaden it out to all of us that make up our community. And it'll take all of us to do that. Now, that is a big mega data set, right, that you're talking about.
Well, let's stop right there and talk about data analytics. A lot of people don't realize just how important data is. You mentioned burn pit toxic exposures. I'm a big component of that. I'm trying to spread the word out there with different organizations as well. But there's so much data about veterans in the military community that people just don't realize is useful for studies like this. That's not going to affect clearances. It's not going to affect job placement. It's certain things where, like, hey, you know what? These are ways we could find a path for these veterans to find a light, to get them out of that dark bubble so they don't become a statistic. And even now, I didn't realize how many veterans were dying of unnatural causes that weren't just blatant suicide. So that is where we need to really tackle this focus. And like you said, the burden can't be on the mental health professionals. Right now, there is just not enough of them out there to deal with everything going on in the world, not just our veteran community.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't access mental health services when they're in a really, you know, dark place.
Well, then that's the thing, you know, me, I've been in law enforcement. I'm a veteran, reaching out for help. There's still a stigma behind it. There's still the, hey, you know what? In the back of my head is always, well, was someone going to think bad of me? Mm-hmm. It's not. There isn't. Get rid of the stigma. And that's one thing we could work on with the stuff is the more people are aware of what these underlying issues are, maybe we could affect it. Maybe we could affect change. And this data helps. You need data.
Well, and you bring up a very, very good point around stigma, particularly as it pertains to suicide, right? So that's why we expanded it even out to those other non-natural cause deaths that we're looking at. If a person can err on the side of it not being a suicide and it being an overdose or something else, because of the stigma associated with suicide and because of the insurance implications at times, we find that most people will do that. So without us expanding it out to those other premature causes of death, we're really not getting the whole picture of how we can affect change.
And you brought up a good data point about the insurance, about the other factors. It might just be like, you don't want to leave a burden on a family member by having another way to lose your own life. So the other data set you bring up is the insurance. There are other different factors out there that you can grab data from. So I keep saying data analytics is you could do so much with it and people don't realize that. And I like this push that you have out there is to get it out there. If we need to pass legislation, we need to work with the right people to do it. Let's do it. How can we get you the help that you need? Where can we find you and how do we do it?
Yeah, great. Thank you for asking. I've just talked to you about the retrospective mega data thing. What I call the meat of the coconut is our qualitative data. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I love qualitative data and the purpose that it provides. The other component to this research is the what we call the prospective element. And that is if you have lost a loved one, a veteran, to suicide, overdose, asphyxiation, drowning, death by law enforcement, or high-speed vehicular accident within the last 2 years, and you live in 15 states that this is being conducted in, then you're eligible to participate in this research. And we'd like for you to contact us so that we can interview you and other family members and friends around the 6 to 12 months surrounding your loved one's life. And that is a big push that we're doing right now. We're moving awareness into positioning action for people who want to contribute towards the answer. And this is an opportunity that family members and loved ones can do.
And I'm sure it's painless. I'm sure it's, how do you guys do it? And I know you're not going to be like, it's going to be a nerve-wracking experience as doing a podcast with Jason Piccolo. But how does someone provide their information to you? Is it like email, telephone calls, in person?
So we have to be contacted by the individual. If you go to America's Warrior Partnership /Operation Deep Dive, you will see our contact information so that you can contact us for eligibility around being interviewed.
Yeah, you know, if you look below streaming right there, you can see the states. So you can go there. The information will be also available in the comment section as well, and the information.
Okay. So the following states below Operation Deep Dive is being conducted in. The interview is very, very painless. There's not a lot of, I don't want to say depth, but there's not, it's their education and how were they happy in their job? Were they not happy in their job? What was their military identity? What was their military experience as shared with you, the loved one? And where did they traverse within the community? So where could we, and the whole point of this data is to figure out where we're missing people. And that is the larger question that we're looking for and we can find from these interviews.
The best thing to do is get the data, and we're going to help find a path so we're not losing somebody.